The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, standing there were six stone jars, water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A friend of mine and I went to visit one of our professors. We drove from Berkeley to Watsonville. And on the way back, being who we were, we took the back roads. We went up and over a mountain pass, down a creek through the redwoods, and found ourselves on a back road on the backside of Gilroy. And we came to a halt at a crossroads because there, in the middle of the crossroads, was a big fiesta. It was a Mexican wedding celebration, full of joy and laughter and dancing. And we just had to enjoy it for a while. I told a friend about this, and I also mentioned I was going to a mariachi mass. And she said, "When you hear mariachi music, you should have a beer in your hand." Like those people at the crossroads, but maybe at a mariachi mass? Another wedding celebration. I got on the bus, the Greyhound bus in San Francisco, and took it to Eureka. Took all night. In the morning, I went to the wedding ceremony, which were, there were about five of us, or maybe six, in a Methodist church. If one less person had showed up, I would have been the best man. But as it was, the best man and I had a job to do even before the service. We had to go get the keg. We had to get in the pickup truck, drive all the way across Eureka to get it. So Lonnie stopped and got us a six-pack on the way, just in case we got thirsty. We made it, and we made it back. And we had the keg for this big party, because the wedding ceremony was small, but the party was big. It was at Blue Ox Millworks, which had a big yard covered with sawdust, and they put a gooseneck trailer up on blocks and set the band up on that. And I think we got through the keg. If we'd really run out, we would have had to run back over across town, wouldn't we? maybe we wouldn't have got quite as expensive a kind. Because as we know, everybody serves the good stuff first. Then once your taste buds are coarsened, you can fill in with something. Well, if you've ever gone wine tasting and gone to one too many wineries, you know after a while, what's the difference? But the point is not the beer or the wine, of course. Maybe it's the party. We celebrated. Something joyous was happening. That has kept on happening ever since. 48 years later, those two people are still married, the ones in Eureka, in that little town in Galilee up on the hill above the Sea of Galilee. There was definitely something to celebrate. And no reason to stop if the refreshments held out. You know, a wedding is the beginning of a brave adventure, a bold adventure. There are going to be highs and lows. A winemaker, a Palestinian winemaker, recently explained to a reporter why he went and named his new wine the Grapes of Wrath. Now, the grapes were grown in the West Bank. He lives in East Jerusalem. The winery is on the border between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. He said he named it the Grapes of Wrath because the vineyard in the West Bank reminded him of the book by Steinbeck because of, get this, the delusion of opportunity on the one hand and the resilience and transforming of pain into opportunity on the other. It sounds like the Jode family. It sounds like a lot of families because marriage has many pains, but as Dr. Johnson said, celibacy has no joys. I think he'd experienced both. The point is, there are going to be hard days as well as light days in any relationship, in any marriage. Friends of mine invited me to a Jewish tradition wedding service where they had the canopy and they said their vows. And afterwards, they wrapped a glass in a napkin and stomped on it. Because where there is rejoicing, there should also be trembling. Apparently, a long time ago, a rabbi noticed the very joyous, maybe a little overjoyed, guest at a wedding, and he took a good goblet and broke it to remind them of this. There's rejoicing, also trembling. You know that if you've been to any wedding, that there is, we know, there's more to it than just that happy moment, that complicated happy moment. Jesus' life, as we know, began with both trembling and joy. Soon after his birth, the king ordered the massacre of the innocents. And that was just the beginning of the suffering that he and his mother would know in his lifetime. But weddings are the celebration that reminds us of the Song of Songs, in which we sing that love is strong, strong as death. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death. The stone jars were empty. No water. Jesus had them filled. Israel was coming to the end of a long season of preparation. John the Baptist was the forerunner, saying, something's coming, the fulfillment of a long-held promise. Now the new had come, was just now arriving. The witness of Mary, or I should say, the nudge from his mother, began the celebration. There was definitely something to celebrate in that little hillside town in Galilee that day. But of course, there was something more going on than just the wedding they expected. Something bigger, but somehow even bigger than just that day. Something similar about it, though, has carried forward. There was something to celebrate that day, and the best wine held until now was certainly appropriate. For at last and already, time was coming to its fulfillment. In a simple small town, in a small town wedding among his friends, the Messiah revealed himself. The best wine held until now. This was the first sign he would perform in that village of Cana in Galilee. And he'd be back pretty soon. And he'd heal a royal official's son who wasn't even there in the town. The son was down in Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee, 8 hours long walk away. His father had come all the way up to this little town, Cana, to ask Jesus for help. He did, and Jesus simply said, "Go, your son will live." And the royal official turned around and walked 8 hours back. His friends met him on the road and said, "Your son is well." When did that happen? About the hour Jesus said, "Go, your son will live." A second sign. Is this small town stuff, a banquet, saved, a boy gets better? Or are these the beginnings of something great? These were the first two signs in Cana. Eventually, the time for signs would disappear, but before it did, Jesus held up a cup of wine at another banquet and said something unexpected. "This is my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." Soon enough, it wouldn't just be a sign, a pointer to something beyond itself, for Jesus' blood would indeed be shed. And if that pointed to anything, it pointed to itself, to the outpouring of love by God in that moment and in all moments. There was a wedding, a bringing together, a joining of two into one. And then there was a bigger banquet. There is a bigger banquet where we are made one with God in the wine and the food, in the death and resurrected life of the one who unexpectedly became the life of that party and is the reason to celebrate. In Galilee back then, it was almost an act of defiance to have a wedding. Occupied, soldiers everywhere, poverty, fear, lots to be afraid of, but maybe in some ways a wedding always is an act of defiance, of love against fear. For love is strong as death. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. And the forces of death will be vanquished in that very cup and very bread shared and broken that at the first banquet and the Last Supper showed that in him was life, that this life was the light of all people, and the darkness has not and cannot overcome it. So, extra wine, second keg, or a crack in the midst of something ordinary every day so that the light got in and shone upon us, showing us the truth that is beyond and behind every occasion of joy, the presence of the joyous one in our midst, hidden or revealed, that is, God with us.